Good Morning Pensacola, Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
At 6, quite the crowd took part in the No Kings protest over the weekend in Fairhope. Only one arrest, but that arrest is getting a lot of attention.
Not just here, but nationally. Police say what the protester was wearing was the big problem.
What could a protester possibly be wearing at the Fairhope No Kings demonstration that would have made national news in the 5 o'clock hour when we have different rules about what kind of content you can talk about, but here goes. Are you ready?
That protester, 61-year-old Gina Renee Gamble, a grandmother here in Fairhope, was wearing a giant inflatable penis costume when she was arrested and carrying a sign that said, "No dictators."
No. Come on! No! No! Oh, man. Let me tell you what you almost wish you didn't ask for, which is, I saw the headlines, I read the stories, I went looking for the pictures. because what got described variously as a large phallic symbol or anatomically interesting, whatever. Well, like many times, you know, when you try to vague describe it, all you do is raise more questions. So I wanted to see what was the exact terminology that got used here for this particular outfit.
When she was arrested and carrying a...
Oh, sorry, here you go.
...was wearing a giant inflatable penis costume.
Mm-hmm. So what exactly... I mean, you've seen, like, the T-Rex costume that inflates, and you've seen the shark costume that inflates, and you've perhaps seen the Pokemon costumes that inflate, or there's lots of these, right? They're like people walking around in a puffy trash bag decorated to look like something. That's basically what it is, right? I had not yet seen one that looked like a giant penis, but I did go looking to see if I could find it. I did. Because, well, you can't know whether this arrest, I remind you, whether this arrest was justified or not. In my head, I was imagining that maybe, you know, depending on the level of detail put forth in the artistic rendering, that maybe there would be a certain version of said, is it wrong to call it a blow-up penis? Anyway, So, you know, there are certain versions of this you could imagine being obscene and certain versions of this you can imagine basically being, well, gosh, that doesn't look like much at all. So part one was the costume itself. I looked. And what I can best describe to you as a person-sized tan rocket that has a slightly larger cone than cylinder.
Go ahead, I'm listening.
And has what might be described as relatively large spherical booster rockets. And, importantly, a viewing window. At the height of a human face so that the person wearing the costume could look out. Now, John, I'm going to show you, because this will be your first time seeing the 61-year-old woman from Fairhope, Alabama, who got arrested at the protest on Saturday.
Okay. I see the rocket ship.
It's clearly a shape you recognize, but it's not, you know.
No, you have to have places for your feet to go.
Sure. It's just large.
Yeah. It's extra cushioning for your feet.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's all that is.
Yeah.
What particularly impressed me was the the sign.
Mm-hmm.
And she was arrested and carrying a sign that said, "No dictators."
Well, she took there that to the extreme.
There are many potential spellings of the word dictator. She did not get the correct one. Some might hint at the manufacture of potatoes. Some might begin with a nickname for a person named Richard, thus misspelling, but phonetically accurate in its rendering.
Oh, my goodness.
Police say Gamble crossed a line wearing what they deemed an obscene costume, and when given a choice to take it off and keep protesting, she simply walked away.
Well, walked, inched, hopped. Let's just say she ejected herself from the situation in some manner or other.
Right.
So, Lieutenant Shane Nolte of the Fairhope Police Department explained why his officers then wrestled the giant inflatable penis-wearing woman to the ground in an effort to get her to stop her obscenity and to find a way to attach handcuffs to her so they could arrest her for this indecent act.
I mean, I wonder what her mugshot looked like. Was she still in costume?
No. That's okay. Not. Well, I didn't look. I had to assume that she'd been unsheathed by the time they got her to the police station.
I'm just letting you go.
Respect that right, their right to the freedom of speech. But there is that line where when you start going into obscene situations, or in this case, an obscene costume or disorderly behavior, then we do have to take action, which was done in this situation.
So let's make some observations. First, 437-1620. First, the video of the three Fairhope police officers wrestling this law-breaking penis to the ground. Costume to the ground are going to haunt them forever. there will be in the deep recesses of the police station, there will be many reminders of the participation in this arrest.
I can only imagine.
Sure of that. It's not a highlight reel for any of them to arrest a 61-year-old woman at a No Kings protest wearing a giant inflatable penis. Number two, costume. Yeah. Number two, clever use of language. Number three, is it obscene? It's not. They shouldn't have arrested her. They shouldn't have told her to take it off. There are times, and this is an important principle in society and in politics and in parenting, where you turn a blind eye to something that's not as bad as you think it is. And even if it is, it's going to be so much worse to try to stop it. Sometimes you just have to smirk on the inside give credit where cleverness is due and say, you know what? It takes all kinds to make a democracy. Because in, again, making the choice to demand that she unsheathe herself from the giant inflatable penis costume, they made it so much worse. It's now a national news story. And probably a First Amendment violation. Because is this the kind of thing that you want on your streets in the United States of America? No. But if you had to choose, you know, amongst your undesirable icons of protest, is hanging a person you disagree with in effigy better or worse than this? I'd say worse. Is burning a flag better or worse? I'd say worse. Are there things that people wrote on their signs that are far worse than this? Yeah. So sometimes you got to choose your spots. You know, you got to pick your battles. And I don't think that planting the giant no-go flag on this particular hill? Outcropping?
Valley?
Protrusion? Was the best place to do it.
As organizers, Indivisible Baldwin County released a statement about Gamble's arrest that reads in part, her violent arrest for expressing herself in ways the police found rude is indefensible morally and legally. Public officials must take seriously their duty to uphold the First Amendment.
Yeah, I think they're going to get sued. I mean, she's already got a court date. They're going to get sued. They're going to lose. They're going to pay. And Fairhope PD will forever be known as the place where. Yeah. By the way, arrested and charged with disorderly conduct and resisting arrest because, well, as they were trying to wrestle her out of this, apparently she did not comply eagerly enough as she tried to hop away or walk away or whatever form of locomotion. I mean, I think on a scooter would have been the funniest. 522 on News Radio 92.3 and
hey, was that a
what was that?
A costume?
What did we just
say?
I don't even know what to say. So when they say that the protests were mostly peaceful, with an asterisk,
leave it to Fairhope.
For the no dictators interpretation, what was it that Jon Stewart said last night? He said, ladies and gentlemen, and this is why you never want to cut funding for the arts.
It all comes down to this, folks.
Yep, the entire season is on the line.
But my throat has officially thrown in the towel.
Sounds like you need Vicks VapoCool drops. They're max strength and vaporized sore throat pain.
Whoa! These VapoCool drops hit fast!
Speaking of fast, did you just see that play?
Yeah, he vaporized that ball.
That pun should have come with a penalty.
Vaporize sore throat pain with Vicks VapoCool drops. Use as directed. VapoCool.
Bands on the beach in October means the season is starting to wind down. Every Tuesday night at 7, thanks to the Santa Rosa Island Authority, you've been able to enjoy great live music on Pensacola Beach.
Kicking back. When the sun goes down.
This week, Southern Breeze blows into Pensacola Beach with their original blend of rock and country, acoustic, and southern rock hits at Bands on the Beach at the Gulfside Pavilion. Remember, no pets and no glass.
It all comes down to this, folks.
Yep, the entire season is on the line.
But my throat has officially thrown in the towel.
Sounds like you need Vicks VapoCool drops. They're max strength and vaporized sore throat pain.
Whoa! These VapoCool drops hit fast!
Speaking of fast, did you just see that play?
Yeah, he vaporized that ball.
That pun should have come with a penalty.
Vaporized sore throat pain with Vicks VapoCool drops. Use as directed.
VapoCool.
Want to win tickets to Florida State home games? Download our News Radio Pensacola app, then tap that app to enter Monday through Friday on News Radio 92.3.
I was so nervous, I became nauseous. But over the years, I have grown to love your father very much.
So, you see, my son,
There is a very fine line between love and nausea.
I don't know what we do now, but we've got that behind us. 525 on News Radio 92.3. I'm Andrew McKay. It's the Pensacola Morning News. If you are literally just now turning on the radio or the stream, let me encourage you to go listen to the 5 o'clock podcast when John posted at the end of this hour, because
it's interesting.
So a lot of times the goal of the show is to inform you, to educate you, to entertain you always. But I like you to arrive at work knowing what's going on. And if it wasn't already a topic of discussion at work yesterday, trust me, this is something you want to know. Maybe not a great workplace topic, per se, but you want to know. David Wayne is in the newsroom with our headline. David still cannot believe what he heard now.
It was a doozy.
Go on. What do you got?
Well, the government shutdown is continuing today, 3 weeks now, tying for the second longest in U.S. history, and still no end in sight. Another Senate vote yesterday failing as Democrats are still insisting on the subsidies for Obamacare. President Trump now has the green light to deploy the National Guard in Portland. A federal appeals court did rule that his decision cannot be reviewed by the courts. Though one judge called that absurd and a threat to states' rights and free speech. In related news, Washington, D.C.'s attorney general says the guard could stay in the Capitol through next summer. President Trump hinting he could use the Insurrection Act to send troops into San Francisco as well. And how about some good news?
Please.
Ticketmaster.
I don't know what could be gooder than what we just talked about, but go on.
Ticketmaster's cracking down on scalpers, Andrew. The company says they're planning to limit users to one account using a Social Security or taxpayer ID verification number, and they'll be using AI to spot and cancel reseller accounts.
Cool.
We'll see if it works, though.
Yeah, great to know that we're going to do everything we can to prevent capitalism. No, I mean, it's a real problem because, you know, what you want, ideally, is you want the people who are selling the tickets, as in the artists and the, you know, people providing the content, to be able to get whatever profit is to be generated from that event. And so there is a bit of an injustice in the idea that a ticket that sells for $100 gets scalped for $200, and who makes the extra $100? Well, the person who gets out there in the aftermarket marketplace, right? So there's that. And then there's sort of all kinds of other smaller concerns. That, to me, is the big one. But the flip side is that, look, there's obviously a markup to be had on a lot of things. And if you believe that the people with the money should be able to bid up an item and buy it what's the harm in having aftermarket selling?
Running a little side hustle selling some tickets?
No, I
do believe he is.
I love, for example, I think it's not StubHub anymore. What's the one that MLB uses now? It used to be StubHub, and then they went to a different one. For the longest time, professional sports tried to fight this and would, you know, try to crack down and have officers running around. You can't resell these tickets and all this stuff. And, of course, everybody did it. Everybody knew you did it. This is how so many people got their tickets, right? And back when you couldn't do it online, you just go to the – well, once online happened, there was no way to fight this. So they embraced it, and they said, fine, we'll just have kind of the ones that we recommend. And then they would advertise it. And it's great because, you know, somebody can't go to the game that they paid $100 for. And, you know, they put their tickets on sale the day of and you get them for 50 or 40 or whatever. Or for more if they're, you know, high value, whatever. It's a great capitalist marketplace. But the basic problem with, you know, your music performances, your theater performance, same basic issue. You can fight it ineffectively. But what you're doing is you're artificially affecting a marketplace where people are willing to pay more for a thing, and why can't you just figure out a way to make the appropriate profit and give it to the appropriate people? I don't know. It's weird. It's weird that we keep fighting this. And I know there's lots of complicated problems in the whole, like, Ticketmaster kind of universe.
You know, I'm not even completely anti-scalper.
No, that's what I'm saying. Scalping is capitalism. I'm anti-e-scalpers.
Now, if you want to put the work in and actually stand outside the venue
with your
handful of tickets, you're putting in the work, and I respect that hustle.
It ought to cost them a little. It ought to cost them a little sweat equity.
Exactly, yeah.
But because this is the flip side, right, is, you know, the average fan can't compete against the robo-dialers or whatever, or the robo-bot, however the system works. And so the actual fans can't get the tickets at their regular price. Which, largely, the problem there is that your price is set wrong. Right? The core problem is that they're not setting their prices properly. Or they're not finding a way to solve for the price discrepancy or the fan base problem. Which, I know Taylor Swift has done a lot in this regard, right? To try to get the tickets to the people that she really wants as fans. So anyway, it's a complicated problem. But just trying to prohibit resellers is—I don't think that's ever really going to work.
Fox News. I'm CJ Papa. Vice President J.D. Vance arrives in Israel today as efforts from the U.S. and its allies in the Middle East are looking to shore up Phase 2 of the Gaza ceasefire plan. Democrat senators derailed a 12 vote to end the shutdown, which now reaches 21 days, one of the longest government shutdowns in history.
President Trump is expected to thank Republicans today for staying united in the shutdown fight. They've been trying to squeeze Democrats as they continue to vote against the GOP's short-term funding bill. Now, Senate Majority Leader John Thune says he wants to vote on a bill to pay essential workers, and he's daring Democrats to vote against it.
Fox's Madeline Rivera. Toronto grabs Game 7 over Seattle. Will face the Los Angeles Dodgers in the World Series Game 1 Friday night on Fox. Monday Night Football, Detroit and Seattle are winners. America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning, 531 at News Radio 92.3. I'm David Wayne, and right now we've got partly cloudy skies. It is 60 degrees in Pensacola this morning. Well, the weekend shooting on Langley Avenue may have been a potential case, a potential stand-your-ground case. That from Pensacola police yesterday. They did identify the victim that died as 21-year-old Jameer Jackson of Pensacola. He was pronounced dead at a local hospital after officers responded to that shooting on Sunday morning. PPD said that a second individual at that scene had been pistol whipped, and there's no word on injuries for that victim. Officials say the incident is still under investigation. Also, an update on that reported murder-suicide in Spanish Fort over the weekend. Local officials identified the victim in that incident as 41-year-old Veromonique Dubose of Mobile. Her husband, Arayan Dubose, was also found deceased with a self-inflicted gunshot wound, and both were found in a white Chevy Tahoe on the causeway Sunday. The investigation into that incident is ongoing. The Escambia Sheriff's Office says they're searching for 42-year-old Jeffrey Adam Birdwell. Now, he's wanted on 3 sex offender violation charges, including providing false registration information, failing to report after vacating his residence, and not notifying the driver's license office of an address change. Birdwell does have a history of legal issues. He was previously arrested in May 2012 on a sex assault charge. He served several years in state prison for that. Prison records indicate 4 separate prison terms between 2012 and 2024. Now, Birdwell does have a very distinctive appearance with multiple tattoos covering his face and his body. A photo is posted on the Escambia Sheriff's Office Facebook page. If you have any information about his location, contact the Sheriff's Office or Crime Stoppers. A custodian at Blue Angels Elementary School in Pensacola has been arrested on charges related to attempting to lure a child for sexual conduct. The Florida Department of Law Enforcement says 56-year-old Chad Wren is charged with obscene communication to seduce a child, attempting to travel to meet a child, and using a two-way device to facilitate a felony. Wren is currently being held in the Escambia jail on $30,000 bond. He's resigned from his position with the school district. Escambia County Public Schools reassured parents that the safety of students is their primary concern and says appropriate actions have been taken. No other details on Wren's arrest have been released. Well, a Pasco County woman is accused of killing her child, and she'll remain behind bars. A judge denying bond yesterday for Lando Lakes Justine Meraz. She's charged with second-degree murder for killing her 6-year-old son, Elliot Perez. Meraz apparently told investigators that she was feeling suicidal over the weekend and said she strangled her autistic, nonverbal son when she snapped. The Pasco County teacher is due back in court next week. It's 5:34. Let's get a look at our Channel 3 weather forecast.
We do have a beautiful day in store for you today. Plenty of sunshine starting off in the 50s, getting into the low 80s. Overnight tonight, temperatures dropping near 61. For Wednesday, mostly sunny skies, high near 79. Wednesday night, temperatures dropping near 53. Keeping the sunshine around on Thursday with a high near 79 degrees. And by Thursday night, temperatures dropping near 56. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Warning Weather Center.
Right now, we've got 56 degrees here in Pensacola. Partly cloudy skies. Your next news in 30 minutes, breaking news anytime. I'm David Wayne, News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
Hey, Pensacola, it's Christina Leavenworth with the Leavenworth team at Levin Rinke Realty. Your home is your most valuable asset, so make sure you're hiring a professional, the Leavenworth team. The Leavenworth team has knowledge and expertise to help you buy or sell your home with confidence. Don't even think about making a real estate move without at least talking to us first. Contact us today at 850-378-1260. The Leavenworth team. Experience matters, and we're here to help.
Hobbies can be fun and expensive. How about a hobby that's fun and could make you money? Find out how this Thursday morning at 10 with Emerald Coast Coins. Hear about precious metals and metal detectors as a great hobby. For nearly 20 years, Emerald Coast Coins has been one of the top-rated businesses in Northwest Florida to buy and sell gold, silver, and the best metal detectors to find treasure. Get more information about this Thursday morning on the Pensacola Expert Panel.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
News Radio 92.3 AM 1620 is accepting applications for employment. Periodically, we have openings in sales, business, news, promotions, engineering, production, and programming. We'll keep your application for consideration when such an opening occurs. We also provide internships for qualified students. Apply online at News Radio 92.3 or at our studios at 7251 Plantation Road between 8:30 a.m. and 5:30 p.m. ADX Communications is an equal opportunity employer.
Want to score tickets to see Florida State games in Tallahassee? Download our News Radio Pensacola app. Then tap that app for your chance to win tickets to FSU home games Monday through Friday from 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. Each day you enter brings you one step closer to being in the stands. The winner will be announced live at 5:15 p.m. on Pensacola Right Now with Chris and Austin. Download, then tap that app. The News Radio Pensacola app. And get ready to be in the stands for game day with News Radio 92.3.
I'm a chicken fried, a cold beer on a Friday night, a pair of jeans that fit just right, and a radio.
Good morning. It's the Pensacola Morning News. I'm Andrew McKay, and Jimmy Patronis, our congressman. I feel like that music always sets us up for happy success. Like, it de-escalates whatever tension was in the air when we bring on our congressman. Jimmy, welcome back to the show, sir.
Good morning.
Jimmy? No? Is he there? I cannot hear him.
I'm here. Good morning.
Huh? You can hear him in your head? Okay, so
I can hear you.
We have this really weird thing with the way that my...
I can hear you.
There we go. Okay.
I can hear you.
Thank you. Sorry about that, Jimmy. I have a piece of technology that I use that was bought at a flea market for $4. I don't know. It's so frustrating. And it always gets screwed up over the weekend. So first interview on a Monday morning is when I find out whether it's working or not. Anyway, sorry about that. It's my fault. Welcome back to the show, sir.
Great to be with you.
So speaking of setting up for success. Okay, so shutdown, people may not know. Even I didn't. I asked you off the air. Are you here? Are you there? You're back. You're home, right? You're in district.
I'm in district. And this is the way that myself and a lot of us feel. The House did our job. We passed a clean CR. I mean, literally, this is an extension of the last budget that was passed under Biden, okay? Or CR passed under Biden. So this is – our job's been done. Now it's a matter for the Senate to get their act together.
So, I mean, there's nothing for you guys to do until the Senate unlocks themselves, basically, right? You've done your job. You passed this continuing resolution, and you're just waiting for them.
Correct.
All right. Any indication that this is going to happen anytime soon? I mean, I asked the same thing last week. I'll probably ask you the same thing next week. I mean, do we have any indication that this is going to be over?
I think as long as the government shut down, and now some people, well, I'll say this, a lot of people, when they see me, they stop me and they say, hold the line. They don't want to see any more spending push forward through any type of modified CR. I've yet to hear anything but that type of support from the district. I think the concerns are until there's probably a turning point movement or moment with the Democrats in the Senate that they may continue to hold on. Don't forget, the harder Chuck Schumer digs in, the harder his state of New York cheers him. So
we're waiting for them to figure it out, I guess. Okay. No Kings protests over the weekend, so-called No Kings protests. I think it's funny that you can protest against despotism and tyranny in a place where the despot tyrant allows you to protest against him. It's not typically what you'd see, like, in, say, Tehran or Pyongyang. So,
love the fact that we have a freedom of speech, and at least by all indications, people behave themselves. At least I didn't see any outbursts of violence that were covered by the national media. So, but if there was violence, they wouldn't show it anyway. So.
Well, I think there was just a couple of minor, and I think there was tear gas used in LA or something, you know, but, you know, for millions of people out protesting the president, for there to only be a couple of incidents, you know, it seems like a win. I do think it's weird that the people staging these demonstrations were bragging about the fact that they were peaceful, which, I mean, you kind of take that as granted. The Constitution protects peaceful assembly. It does not protect unpeaceful assembly. It'd be like me going on the radio and bragging how I didn't defame anybody today. Like, you know, right. Like I didn't break any laws today. So it's a weird thing to, but I guess people were predicting that there was going to be violence. And so I guess they feel like they have to justify the fact that there wasn't, right?
Yeah, it's just like bragging that, hey, I got up out of bed this morning and, you know, I brushed my teeth.
Right.
So, wow.
Look at me today. No murders. Woohoo. You know, it's kind of an odd thing to flex about. I did want to ask you about speaking, because we're in this realm. There are things that President Trump does that give me worry. Lots of things that President Trump does that give me worry. And seeing him or the Department of Justice with or without his input, seeming to go after people like, you know, Letitia James and James Comey and now John Bolton. And I know that each case is its own case, but these things concern me. I mean, the perception that it's retaliation against political enemies should never be the case.
I think, you know, people in glass houses shouldn't throw rocks. And I think you've got a series of political persecutions against Trump that arguably I fought against. I thought they were out of line. Now you see them being overturned in the courts. And so now you've got, you know, people are pointing out things that these individuals have done that were technically against a law. I don't know all the laws are being there exactly being charged. So you know what? They'll have their day in court. But I think it's important to note that a lot of this work's being done in a grand jury in Virginia, which is not known to be a bastion of Trump supporters.
Yeah.
And this is juries of their peers that are doing these indictments. So, I mean, it's about as fair of a process as you would hope to be able to be presented, even if you were, you know, perceived as a political enemy.
On X or Twitter or whatever you want to call it, you had a couple of very interesting posts in the last day or two. One was you wrote, "I'm done with NIL, name, image, likeness. Enormous pots of money thrown at high school kids is destroying college football. Amateur athletics is getting poisoned. If they want to be paid, go straight to the NFL." So this was brought about because the athletes felt like they were not being taken care of by the colleges and they were having their likenesses abused without any compensation. You think we've swung too far, or what? I mean, what's your solution to the problem?
totally think we swung too far. One, I think pick a date certain in the future, ideally at least a minimum of 4 years from now, so nobody is disenfranchised. And then this thing sunsets. You go back to the way it was. You know, at the end of the day, I don't know, but I think free room and board, free education, free national, in some cases maybe international exposure, all these things have enormous value, especially if you're considering taking yourself to the next level. So I know there's people saying, oh, well, these kids are being taken advantage of and exploited. Well, I do think that individual decided that's where they wanted to go. And by the way, everything they're being given to for free is worth tens of thousands, in some cases, hundreds of thousands of dollars, especially based on whatever medical assistance, expertise, sports training is going along with their ability to perform on that field. Now, if we want to create some type of opportunity for a stipend, some type of deferred compensation after they leave school at a certain age, I'm fine for all of that. But these young men and women are not mentally capable of managing the type of money that's being thrown at them, and you're just ruining them. You're ruining young lives at an early age. Maybe there'll be an evolution, but you know, as I see it, I look at what, you know, I spent a lot of time in fiscal literacy when I was a CFO, and it's a never-ending battle to help young men and women understand the magnitude of managing their budget, let alone when you're throwing millions of dollars at them.
Oh, man, it's like basic Dave Ramsey stuff. The best way to ruin a person who can't handle a small budget is give them a big budget, right? I mean, that's the single best way to ruin them. You know, you bring up something in your mentioning that it should be done away with in 4 years. Gives me a second to kind of, I don't know, jaw with you a little bit about something. It's long been my view that every piece of legislation, every single one, should come with two basic elements. Number one, a sunset date, that this only is 100%. In place until 5 years, 10 years, some specific date. And number two, a set of criteria. You know, these are the criteria for evaluating whether it was successful or whether it was not. And you can always, you know, you can always renew it if it's successful, but we get into, I always think of, like, Vietnam is my illustration. We get into a war with no objectives, no end date. We don't know what we're doing. We don't know how we're fighting it. And that was a problem. And the same thing with legislation. We just add these laws, no criteria for evaluation, and no need to come back and revisit whether they're working or not. Thoughts?
No, hey, I 100% in lockstep on you with that. Every great idea that has become an agency, a law, or a function of government, what happens is whoever was that originator of it, they die, they leave, they get beat. And then it becomes this massive, out-of-control, poorly managed bureaucracy because nobody has the vision or appetite to do what it was originally intended to do. I think every special district, everything should have a forced sunset to have to go out and prove to the public that it deserves still to exist and that their mission is still worthwhile for that law still. But, and look, granted, I know there can be an extreme case, like let's take murder, for example, and I would think murder, if somebody files a bill that I want to renew the murder law, I'm sure without any hesitation, it would get renewed.
Right. The things that should be renewed will renew. The things that should be questioned will be questioned. And the things that should die off of the vine will die off of the vine. I mean, that's, you know, that's the idea. It's a kind of zero-based budgeting when you apply it to legislation. Hey, on the NIL thing, just a follow-up question on that. So what do you think about having the transfer portal be so easily available for all these student-athletes? I mean, that the free agency within college sports, to me, is one of the problems. But then again, I see, like, Bo Nix goes from Alabama to Oregon. He thrives. He goes to the NFL. I mean, like, I see the advantage, too.
So I think with NIL, they have one free transfer per college career. And then they're stuck. Now, if they want to transfer a second time, then they have to give up a year of eligibility. Or then they have to, and that giving up that 1 year eligibility may be they redshirt. So you give them some tools to make that flexibility. But, man, you're one and done, okay?
Yeah.
You can't go and just chase the dollars because this school's giving you $8 million and this one's going to give you 10. You made the decision just because your athletic ability excelled at the $8 million college, yeah, you'll get that one chance to move and get 10 somewhere else. But, you know, I think the dollars have poured gas on the NIL problem and exacerbated it.
Yeah, put some guardrails in. That makes sense to me. Hey, last thing, we're talking to Jimmy Patronis, our congressman for Northwest Florida District 1. You also posted a thing yesterday on Twitter X where you said you want to personally thank Donald Trump, Pete Hegseth, Secretary of State Marco Rubio, for blowing up Venezuelan drug cartel boats and submarines. I have two boys. You're right. I have two boys, and with every blown up boat, I see less American boys and girls dying of fentanyl. You and I have talked a little bit about the justification for the use of force, the criteria, making sure that we're not just killing people indiscriminately and all of that. But this is a pretty hot take by you that, you know, hey, fewer drug boats is fewer people dying from fentanyl.
I look at it as the United States is the single largest market for illegal drugs that put more lives at risk than anywhere else in the world. So if Donald Trump takes the intelligence that they're getting and makes those decisions that these are boats bound for the most lucrative, rich market in the whole world, and we deter them from coming through force, then you know what? We're saving lives. You know what? That means that's less kids being responded to by 911 calls by our first responders. That's less fentanyl. That's less emergency rooms. And that's less broken hearts. So, I mean, you know, this stuff is bad. And I'm not, I never voted for any level of any type of expansion of the recreational marijuana. So, oh, well, you'll support gateway drugs. I don't support gateway drugs. I don't support drugs, period. Hell, I hardly even drink a beer. So, I mean, all I just know is that stuff leads to bad outcomes. And if we set it back 10, 15 years, 5 years, all those are lives we're saving every day.
What are we doing in Central and South America right now? And I ask that because we've got Venezuela, which we seem to be on the verge of going to war with or close. We have Argentina, which we're bailing out with tens of billions of dollars. We have now Colombia has become a center point in the news. And, you know, I mean, I know Marco Rubio is very emphatic about Central and South America. He always has been. And I appreciate that about him.
Mm-hmm.
But I mean, as an average American, you know, you don't hear anything about Central and South America, but once a decade, and here we are on like three major things going on. What's your perception? What's going on here in Trump's mind?
Well, I think you've had 4 years of an administration that was in place where a lot of things were allowed to grow at an exponential rate, and so different than those human trafficking and drug and gun smuggling operations that exploded during the Biden years when the border was open. And now it's time to trim the bushes. It's time to put those operations back and where they're at, where they don't have this ability just in the next 4 years, if the administration changes, that somebody allows those guys to just spring up their operations again overnight because they're sitting there laying them wait in other Central American or South American countries. You know, I think it's President Trump trying to set these guys back a generation.
So it's partially it was neglected. Partially it's just a matter of, you know, where there's areas of influence that have languished. Would you put it in the context of like the Panama stuff with China, that it's all, you know, we got to take care of our own backyard if we're going to be safe from foreign influence? I mean, it's kind of all of that packaged together. Is that how you view it?
All the above. And again, and I'm just coming off the top rail with what Jimmy feels like is the lay of the land there. I've not gotten any briefings on it. But I just know what I saw firsthand and understood firsthand at the southern border in Texas last year, and I was blown away by what was taking place. And unfortunately, here's the other thing that happens is the amount of cash that is flowing through these markets to get to the U.S. border, and then you get to the point where even there are instances where those people in that process along those borders are getting paid off. So you know what, you've got to knock these guys back. You know what, they you'll never get rid of them, but you can't allow their operations to be so robust where they can pay off every individual in their path in order to get to the most lucrative market in the whole world, which is the United States that kills our kids.
Or threaten them, you know, either way, right? You know, and I get it. If you're going to really take seriously the threat from drugs, then you don't just push back by putting up a wall. You push back all the way into the origin source and, you know, try to dismantle some of the networks that make that happen. I see that. I see that picture. Jimmy Patronis, he is our congressman for Florida's District 1, Northwest Florida. Jimmy, as always, great to have you on the show. We'll talk to you again soon. Actually, I think we'll see you in studio on Friday, so looking forward to that.
Friday, yeah. So we're going to take some live questions. Are you going to be able to manage that?
Oh, not yet. Of course. Absolutely. I promise we'll make the technology work. My $4 flea market part of work. I promise.
Be nice to the boss. He's just keeping you up and running. And
he is. They definitely are. Jimmy, we'll talk to you on Friday, sir. Thanks for the time. Yeah, so that's going to be Friday, 7:35. He'll be in studio, and our goal is to, you know, like we've done before, you know, we do sometimes with DC, we've done with Matt Gaetz previously, is you text in your questions. It won't be a full hour, it'll just be the half hour, but still, we're, you know, hopefully we'll be able to do it that way. Anyway, so yeah, that should be fun on Friday. Hey, if you're thinking about that next vehicle, Frontier Motors has a great selection of good quality used cars, cars that are very young, you know, 1, 2, 3 years old, low miles, great condition, like, you know, maybe 10 to 40 kind of thousand miles is about what they really specialize in. And all their cars come with a 10-year or 100,000-mile warranty, so you know they're going to take care of you. They only sell you good quality cars. And by the way, not only do they sell them and then, you know, stand by them because they're warranty, but they are always buying them. I mean, if you think about it, they sell about a half of their inventory every month. So 300 cars, they sell about 150 a month. And that means they have to acquire 150 cars a month. Now, they do this from auctions, from leases, from you. If you have a car that's, you know, somewhat, you know, close to new but not brand new, and you want to sell it, go in there. It takes about 15 minutes. They'll tell you what they'll pay for it. If you want to get a little bit more, they'll consignment sell it at a higher price for you. And, of course, that might take a little bit longer. But if that's important to you, no worries. They need inventory. You've got the car to sell. Simple. Frontier Motors, serving the Pensacola community for more than 25 years. Behind the Big Buffalo on Beverly Parkway. Be sure to tell them Andrew McKay says hi.
Delicious seafood is what you'll find at Davis Catfish House. Davis Catfish serves only the best Mississippi catfish, fresh Gulf seafood, and delicious homemade sides. Weekday specials include 2 times Tuesday, 6 free shrimp added to the 6-piece dinner. Wednesdays offer lunch basket specials. And everybody's favorite, Shrimptastic Thursday, $5 off all-you-can-eat shrimp. Serving fresh seafood daily, visit Davis Catfish House on Dogwood Drive in Milton. See you at David's.
Is your business, church organization, civic group, school, or other nonprofit organization having a fundraiser or other community event? Let News Radio 92.3 AM 1620 help you spread the word. Send us your information to be presented on our Here's What's Happening weekly announcements. We look forward to hearing from you. Submit your events at newsradio923.com.
In a world of payroll and HR services, things can get complicated. There are so many moving parts in business. At Avalon HR, we understand, and we have your back. Join us on the Pensacola Expert Panel as we guide you through the complicated world of payroll and HR services. Running a business is busy work. Allow Avalon HR to work with you. Join us tomorrow on the Pensacola Expert Panel at 10.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
The American Revolution, a new documentary from Ken Burns, explores America's founding struggle and its 8-year war for independence. WSRE invites you to a special preview screening on Tuesday, October 21st at 7 p.m. in the Amos Studio. The film will be followed by a conversation with Kathleen Duvall, Pulitzer Prize-winning author of Independence Lost, about the Revolutionary War along the Gulf Coast. Admission is free. Visit WSRE.org to register and learn more.
All of your local news and talk from dependable host Andrew McKay on your morning drive with Pensacola Morning News 5 to 9 on News Radio 92.3.
Good morning, 5:58 here on News Radio 92.3. When you picture a game of asteroids, what do you picture? Do you picture shooting the rocks, shooting the alien, or hyperspace, or getting killed?
All of the above.
All of it.
Yes,
comes
because I'm
flooding
like,
back.
I got to do this. I got to do that.
In one horrible montage of pain. David Wayne's in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
Good morning, gentlemen. Well, the president's hopeful a trade deal can be struck with China. President Trump and Chinese President Xi Jinping are set to meet later this month in South Korea.
I think China's been very respectful of us. They're paying tremendous amounts of money to us as in the form of tariffs. As you know, they're paying 55%. That's a lot of money.
Yesterday at the White House, the president said that the U.S. has been treated unfairly by the Chinese when it comes to trade and tariffs. He threatened a new 100% hike on Chinese imports when the pause on reciprocal tariffs between the two countries ends in November. Well, the 2025 World Series is set. The Blue Jays will take on the Los Angeles Dodgers. Game one of the World Series is set for Friday night in Toronto.
Sad. Sad for Seattle. I was really hoping Seattle would get their first World Series. They have never been in the World Series, let alone win it. I was really hoping they would get there, and some team from Canada, whatever. Anyway. The Dodgers are, I mean, I don't have anybody to root for now. Well, I mean, I'll obviously root for the Blue Jays because, you know, they're not the Dodgers.
That's the one criteria.
Just like most of America will root for whatever's not the Dodgers.
You're listening.